Good morning. It's a privilege to be with you this morning and to share in this morning worship service. It's not my first time in Abbots Cross Congregational. As the church secretary said, yes, I was here and I sang it many, many years ago. And the church was a different shape in those days. I think there was you had to walk up steps or something, a pulpit or something or whatever. And there were three of us called the Evangels, and we sang away back, and it's amazing. I never dreamt in those days God would call me to the ministry. And here you are this morning, and only God knows, if you'll open your heart to Him, what He may say to you. I enjoyed that story that Jim shared with us about the artist and spilling, the men who spilled the tea. I actually saw that happen. See, I was a painter, a house painter, of course, before I came into the ministry. And I still am a house painter, because whenever something has to be done in the house, Ira says, painting. But I use the Word of God in everything. Though it's a misquote. Jesus said, men should always pray and not paint. You know, He didn't say that. Men should always pray and not faint. But I remember as I was, we were painting a school on Hollywood Road, and it was lunchtime, overalls, and we're standing at the table, and someone actually spilled a whatever it was, tea. And I was only a house painter. The rest of us were house painters, and, you know, factory painters. But there's one lad, he was a signwriter. And as we all chatted and smoked and played cards, remember this before I was a Christian. Right? Where is he? In case you're getting worried. But we were, you know, playing cards. He started to draw, and he actually drew a reindeer. So the story that you heard this morning is a true story. And there's many artists can do that. But thank God for our Lord Jesus Christ. He can take a life. He took my life and He changed me. I hear people giving testimonies saying, I found God. No, you didn't. God's not lost. He found you. And He found me in 1965. And He's kept me all these years. And so it's a privilege to be here this morning to share God's Word. I want to thank your minister and the leadership, the church session here for the opportunity. If you do have a Bible, would you turn to Matthew 26, please? And as you're turning to it, there's a fellow called Brian here. And he plays drums and he plays a few other things in the church. And we met away some years ago, 1979, on the Isle of Man. And we just met again for the first time in many years on Friday night at a barbecue. I met the band there. I've had a great time together. But it's amazing what took place on the Sunday morning. I was just sharing with Bram what happened that Sunday morning, way back in 1979, how God spoke to me, a preacher, a pastor, sitting in a Baptist church at that time. I was going through a very difficult time, the Broadway Baptist Church. And God spoke directly to me. Now, I was a preacher, a pastor, and guess what? I didn't have a Bible, but he had a Bible. And as the preacher spoke that morning, just read the scriptures, God spoke to me. If you open your heart to God, He will speak to you. Maybe you've come this morning and said, where's God? You ever read the word on the front of this pulpit? It says Emmanuel. You know what it means? God with us. Amen. God with us. He's here this morning. He's walking up and down the aisles of this church in the gallery. He wants to touch you. Used to be when you said, would you turn to your Bible, we turn to a book. Now it could be an iPad, an iPod, an iPhone. See, this is the I generation, isn't it? It's all about me. No, it's not. It's all about Him. And I just want to take a statement from Matthew 26 as we read from verse 41 here. And I've entitled this message, He Could Have Called 10,000 Angels. It's a mind-blowing statement Jesus makes in this chapter. As you know, Jesus made many amazing statements. Some men came to take Him one day, and they went back And they told the high priest, this man, no man spoke like this man. And Jesus spoke many amazing things, like on the cross, he made 7 statements. Father, forgive them. They know not what they're doing. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. It is finished. And there's many other things that Jesus said, but in this chapter 26, he makes what I refer to as a mind-blowing statement. I read it from verse 41 to verse 53 of this chapter 26 of Matthew. Watch and pray, says Jesus, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We can all identify with that. Someone here this morning, you promised to do this, that, and the other. I'm going to start from tomorrow morning, Lord. Rise at 4 o'clock and pray. First morning was great. Second morning wasn't too bad. Third morning, he's dead in bed. We make these promises. See, indeed, as Jesus says, spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time. He prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. He came and he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. He left them, went away again, and he prayed the third time, saying the same words. That's interesting. You may have heard a preacher tell you, when you pray, you only need to pray once. If you pray twice or 3 times, you haven't got faith. That is not true. Because Jesus prayed 3 times. You keep praying until you pray through. You get a breakthrough. Someone here this morning, and the devil's giving you a bad time in your prayer life, your walk with God. You see, don't you ever give up praying, holding on to God. Maybe for your children, for your family, or maybe for your health. So verse 44 says, he left them again, then went away again, prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, and he saith unto them, sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. When he had spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. Judas kissed the door of heaven, and he went to hell. You're here this morning, sir, madam. You come to church, this great church, but you never come to Christ. You know all the hymns. You probably could quote this book better than I preach it. You know the author of the book. That's so important that you know Christ is your Savior. Verse 49, forthwith he came to Jesus. This is Judas. He says, hail, Master, and he kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, friend. Amazing. The one who's betraying him, he calls him friend. Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus. They took him. And behold, one of them, which were with Jesus, and one of the other Gospels inform us it was Peter, Simon Peter, the big fisherman. He stretched out his hand, he drew his sword, he struck a servant of the high priest, and smote of his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into its place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou not that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus it must be? He could have called 10,000 angels. In 1958, Ray Overholt had a lucrative career. He was a popular singer-songwriter. He toured America singing a lot, conventions, hotels and nightclubs. I wrote many secular songs, but was sometimes asked to sing a gospel song. Now, Ray Overholt was not a Christian in the right sense of the word. Not a born-again Christian. But he'd often think about the request. And he'd think, I've written many secular songs. Could I write a gospel song and do it justice? So he began to read the Bible, starting in the New Testament, in Matthew's gospel, in search for a theme for his gospel song. Starting at Matthew chapter 1, he read until he came to Matthew 26. This chapter here we're reading, where Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Peter draws his sword to protect the Lord, and Jesus explains that he could ask his Father, and his Father could send 12 legions of angels. Ray Overholt knew that he had found his theme for his gospel song. And in the weeks that followed, Ray thought much about this passage of Scripture. One weekend, when playing at a nightclub in Battle Creek in Michigan, during the break, he wrote the first verse, and he put it in his guitar case. And for some reason, he just doesn't fully understand. He told the manager of the nightclub he'd never go back again. The players sing in the nightclub. Not long after this, a friend asked Ray if he'd sing at a little church. And Ray pulled out his now completed song, which he entirely could have called 10,000 Angels. The minister preached a stunning message about the sufferings of Christ and the price that the Jesus paid on the cross to save us from our sins and to bring us peace with God. And it touched the heart of this former nightclub singer that when the preacher, the pastor of the church, gave an invitation for anyone who wanted to get right with God, have their sins forgiven, Ray walked to the front of that little church. He knelt down, and he got gloriously saved. You know, rarely was a hymn writer, or has a hymn writer, been led to Christ by his own song. But such was the case with Ray Overholt. Perhaps you've heard the song sung in some church, maybe this church, or in a mission. They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They led him to the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior so pure and free from sin. They said, crucify him. He's to blame. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and for me. It's a moving song. And here in this 26th chapter of Matthew, we have Jesus. He institutes the first Holy Communion, or the Lord's Supper, or the breaking of bread. Whatever term that you want to use. He takes bread, he breaks it, he passes it to his disciples. He takes the cup of wine, and he passes it to his disciples. They sing a hymn. You should read that chapter 26. They actually sung a hymn. Could you sing a hymn if you were in a prison knowing you're going to be executed the next morning? Sing a hymn. Then he leads his disciples to a place that he often frequented, the Garden of Gethsemane. See, Judas knew where he'd be. He was always at his place, seeking his Father's will in the Garden of Gethsemane. While there he's praying, wrestling with the powers of evil and darkness, he's betrayed by a friend. I wonder, have you been let down by a Christian? Let down by some church or preacher? It happens, you know. But he'll never let you die. He says, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. If you're going through the fire, I'll go with you. If you're going through the waters, I'll go with you. And I'll bring you through. And here we're told that Jesus turns to this man called Judas, and he calls him friend. And we all know the old song, don't we sing it, what a friend we have in Jesus. See, he wants to be your friend today. He's not against you. He's for you. And if you're saved today, if God be for us, who or what can be against us? Now, it was at this point that Peter pulls a knife, a large knife. It's called a sword here. And he begins to swipe all around him. And it just so happened that the servant of the high priest stuck his head out. And off came his ear. You know, often we preachers, in our endeavors to win someone to Christ, we abuse the sword of the Spirit, don't we? You see, this is this book called the Bible. It's the sword of the Spirit. And we need to know how to handle the sword of the Spirit. When you're speaking to someone, speak to them in love. Yes, with compassion. But speak to them with confidence and with faith. You know, it used to be you take the sword and just wipe the ears of someone. You're going to hell. But before you go to hell, you have an opportunity to go to heaven. God loves you. For God so loved you, He only had one son. You call Him Jesus Christ. He died on the cross for you. And here's the amazing thing. Before He actually speaks to Peter, He takes this man's ear and He puts it back on again. And you saw, you heard Jim speaking this morning, and you saw the potter, the clay. So true, we're made of clay. He just took that piece of clay, fell off, was cut off, stuck it back on. Isn't God amazing? Amazing. What has the devil took from you? What has he robbed of you? Your peace. Maybe he's took a loved one. Maybe death has come. One day, if you're saved, heaven awaits you. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, sometimes you look into the mirror and say, oh dear. But you look at that face. Another wrinkle. Another hair no longer there. But the Bible says when Jesus comes, we're going to be changed in a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. Now that must be a miracle. Because I don't know of any protective woman who can be changed in a moment. On a Sunday morning when you're going to church, if you've got daughters in the bathroom and you're queuing up, but when the Lord comes, you're going to be changed in a moment. Ladies, in the twinkling of an eye. So cheer up. God is not against you. He is for you. But what is the lessons being taught here? Jesus turns to Peter. He says, Peter, don't you understand? I could just pray to my Father and instantly He would send 12 legions of angels and just wipe out this crowd. But how then could the Father's will be done if I did that? So what is being taught here? What's the lesson? Now, if you're like me, and whenever I have a Sunday free and I go to church, I take with me my Bible, I take a pen and a piece of paper. Because sometimes pastors and preachers say something that's worthwhile listening to, not right. Other times you fall asleep. But if I say something here that's, you know, it just touches you, write it down. Because if you're like me, you'll forget it. You know, you'll forget it. Jot it down. But here's the first thought I got. First of all, Jesus invites us to the throne of God. He invites us to the throne of God. In verse 53, this is our text. He says to Peter, don't you understand, Peter, I could pray to my Father. Pray. You remember the old song? I know the older congregation, or the older part of the congregation. I may remember the words, sir, you left your room this morning. Did you think to pray? Did you? I had so much to do, I had to walk the dog this morning. How to get up and do this and do the other. And then you go through the day and you wonder what happens. Or why it happens. And the old devil knocks you back. If you start the day with the Lord, start your day and walk with Him from the beginning, you'll discover you'll have confidence. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 16. Well known verse. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I love that verse. I whom God took a piece of clay and made. It's probably a small piece of clay because I'm not all that big, you know. But he took a piece of clay. He made me. And here he tells me, come boldly to my throne. How do you come to God? Do you come sort of, you know, wimpishly? Oh God, here I am again. And you wring your hands, worried sick. Look, if you begin to meditate upon the good things of God, it will just inspire you. Someone said to me recently, I can't meditate. I said, can you worry? I worry every day. Then you meditate. But you're meditating upon the negative things. Meditate upon the good things of God. You're looking for something good? Read the scriptures. Look back to what he's done in your life. Are you saved today? Has he kept you? Did you go through surgery? Are your kids saved? Have you got food in the fridge? Praise the Lord. We have much to rejoice. You know, if this was a black church, I mean all black faces, they'd be dancing over those pews. Hallelujah, glory to God. But we're different. We're from Northern Ireland. You know what I mean? But here's the first thought. Jesus invites us to the throne of God. Young person, in all of your studies, if you're college or university, whatever, start your day with God. Really do that. Maybe all your friends in college, university, no time for God. You take time. Because you're laying a good foundation. Here's the second thought. After Jesus invites us to the throne of God, he informs us of the heart of God. What is the heart of God? In verse 53, he says to Peter, Peter, don't you understand? I could pray to my Father. He doesn't say God. See, on the cross he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? But here, I could pray to my Father. And in an instant, just at the crack of my fingers, my Father would send 12 legions of angels. And here we're being invited or informed of the heart of God. Up until this time, there's no one ever referred to God as Father. In fact, in John's Gospel, that's why they're going to stone him. When he called God my Father, he was making himself equal with God. Well, let's face it, he is God, Emmanuel, God with us. They come knocking on your door. They were with me last week. We are Christians coming to share the Bible. I didn't tell them who I was. I just let them talk. You know what I'm talking about? The Russellites, modern day JWs, and that's not a BMW, okay? They came knocking on the door. And I just asked them, could you explain that verse? Could you explain that verse? And I was quoting these verses from memory. They said, you know, we've never met someone on the doorstep who knows so much about the Bible. I was just trying to sow seeds. If I can just get them to doubt what they're believing the heresy, then they actually go home, God may use it, lead them out in the truth. But he informs us of the heart of God, Father. And this is one thing that they cannot see. That when Jesus walked the shores of Galilee and he put his feet upon this earth, it was God walking amongst us. Amazing, isn't it? God walked amongst us. You know, the journey of life can be dangerous. The trail is treacherous and the pitfalls are many. But the good news is this. Jesus says, I will never leave you. I will never, ever forsake you. This is not the words of a preacher or just a miracle worker. This is the words of God walking amongst us. Emmanuel, walking amongst us. I will never leave you. You know, we may fall on the road. We don't fall off the road. You ever notice that? And when you fall on the road, guess what? He picks you up. Many times as a child, and you remember it, if you can think back that far, you know, walking behind your mummy. Down you go. After what you get up. Last time we were talking in Belfast, don't we? Different in England. Oh, darling, we'll pick you up, you know. The thing is, mum picks you up, dusts you down, and off you go again. And no matter how many times you fall, and you fail, Praise God, he picks you up again. The old devil sticks his big toe out. He trips you up. He tempts you. You're finished. God says you're not finished, son. You're not finished, daughter. You may have fell. Let's get up. Look, the finish line is just ahead. And I'm going to take you through. I'll be with you to the very end. Romans, the 8th chapter. Verses 38 and 39. Paul says, I am persuaded. I am persuaded. You know, if you're not persuaded about something, you'll believe anything. That is a fact. Are you persuaded about Christ? Jesus Christ. Are you persuaded about your faith? Your faith in God. He says, I'm persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The love of God, the heart of God. Nothing. Nothing. God holds you in his hand. He looks down, he loves you. We're at the time in history, you'll discover young men and women are getting tattoos. Well, we've always, you know, sometimes they have. Today it's different. I would go sometimes down to the gym. You wouldn't believe it, I know, but I go to the gym. And some of these boys strip off, and I'm not joking you, there's more colour in their back than there's in the wallpaper in our house. Tattoos. And see, to remove a tattoo, it's very, very difficult. I wear two rings. One was my father's ring, called John. I'm called Billy. William. Or Bill. Many other things too, you know. But my father never got his initials on that ring. Because John Donne had two sons. My older brother was called John. I was called William. And he knew that when he had died, this would pass on to his son. And I've never got my initials on it. You know why? Once you put the initials on that piece of gold, you can never remove it. You know, this book says, God has engraven you upon the palms of his hands. He's tattooed you on the palm of his hands. Here's a wee test for you. Everything you'll do with your body, your hands come into play. You wave with your hands, you make a fist with your hand, a knife and fork, you do everything with your hands. God says you are continually before me. When you're going into surgery, into the hospital, he says you're continually before me. Whenever you're going through a difficult time, the kids are playing up, look, you're continually before me. This is the heart of God here. And so Jesus, he invites us to the throne of God. He informs us of the heart of God. But here's the third thought. He then inspires us with the power of God. See, it's getting better all the time here. Now the power of God. For in verse 53, he talks about 12 legions of angels. He says, Peter, don't you understand? I could just pray to my Father, and he would send 12 legions of angels. Legions. As you read through the New Testament, you'll often come across the word legion. When Jesus crossed over to the country of the Gadarenes in that little boat, and the enemy tried to drown him at sea before he got to the other side, because there's a man there possessed with demons. And when Jesus stepped out of the boat, this mad man with hair sticking out of his head, every shape and size, and they had chained him, he broke chains, he didn't go to the gym. He didn't eat spinach like Popeye. He was possessed with the devil. And Jesus says, what's your name? And the voice came out, my name is Legion, for we are many. And that word Legion is what the Romans would march their armies. They would march them in legions. You turn to a good encyclopedia. A legion could be anything to 1,000 soldiers, to 5,000 soldiers. Can you picture this man coming through that door of this church, possessed with 1,000 demons? What would you do? What could you do? They couldn't do anything for him till Jesus came and set the captive free. Hey, legion. And here we're told, Jesus says, I could ask my Father, he would send 12 legions of angels. Look, we're on the winning side, he's saying here. Don't panic, Peter, we're on the winning side. I wonder, have you ever considered the possibility that you may have a guardian angel? Now, I'm not talking about angel worship here. That's all heresy. But have you ever considered God loves you? Christ died for you. You have the Holy Spirit. You've got the Word of God. But also along with that, is it possible you could have a guardian angel? Turn to Matthew 18, please, with me. I want to encourage your heart here this morning. There's someone needs encouragement here today. I just want to inspire you to get into God's Word and to press on. In Matthew, in chapter 18, in verses 2 to 5, it says, Jesus called a little child unto him. He set him in the midst of them. He said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever therefore shall humble himself as his little child, the same as greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. Now go down to verses 10 and 11. He continues talking and preaching here. He says, Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, these little children. For I say unto you that in heaven, their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. In heaven, their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. And here's my thought. And you think as a child, when you were a child, and I was a child, what Jesus is saying is this, every child has a guardian angel. But here's food for thought. When you grow up, see, some of us do grow up, actually, and we think we're grown up, you know, we're now a man, but you're a woman. Does the angel leave you? No, he doesn't. Because you're just a lump of clay. You need God. We all need the help of God. And thank God for the Holy Spirit who comes into us. And thank God for the angel. If you listen. In fact, you check over your life. Go home and spend about 15 minutes. And just for 15 minutes, meditate. Over your life, the times in which you had little mishaps, near misses, things that almost happened to you, and how you just scratch your head and wonder, how did it happen? Was it the angel guarding you? I believe possibly it could be. When you go home today, you should turn to Isaiah chapter 37. See, Jesus talks about 12 legions of demons, or 12 legions of angels. But it wouldn't even take 12 legions. One angel would have done the job. When you go home today, read Isaiah 37. From verse 33 to 38, it's a time in which Sennacherib, he besieges the city of Jerusalem, Hezekiah, worried sick, his health breaks down. He's going to take the city, destroy them. The prophet Isaiah speaks. As God speaks to the prophet, and God says, He'll not put a foot inside the city. I'll take him out. It says that night, an angel, singular, not plural, not angels, but one angel, wiped out the whole army, thousands of them. Hey, if God is for you, who can be against you? So Jesus invites us to the throne of God. Spend time with him. He informs us of the heart of God. He really loves you. He inspires us with the power of God. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And here's my final thought. You should write it down. But Jesus instructs us in the will of God. And this is so important, the will of God. See, if you look at verse 54 of Matthew 26, this chapter we've read, after Jesus talks about the 12 legions of angels, he says in verse 54, he says, Peter, how then could the scriptures be fulfilled that this must happen? If I prayed and asked the Father, to send 12 legions of angels, and he set me free. The plan and the purpose of God would not be fulfilled. I have to go to the cross. I have to die. See, as Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, Father, if it's possible, remove this cup from me. And there's silence. As the Father scans throughout eternity, is there another way? Is there another way that man can be saved? No other way. So Jesus prays, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Yes, he could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and for me. Are you saved? Are you born again? Do you love him? Because he really, really loves you. Things in life happen to us which we just don't understand. You know, even to Christians. That is why it's good to read and digest Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. I know we're all good at quoting this verse of scripture when someone else is going through a bad time. Just you hold on, brother. Just keep hanging in there, because the Bible says that all things work together for good to those who love. Hold on a minute. That's not for that person. It's for you personally. It's for me personally. When I'm going through a difficult situation. Because here's what the verse really says. Paul says, and we know personally that all things work together for good. To those who love God. To those who are called according to his purpose. Let me just say this here. Most likely he will not send 10,000 angels. But he will give you grace to help. Whatever you're going through. Grace to help in time of need. Would you bow your head with me? Before we sing a closing song. Just take a moment. I wonder, is there someone this morning? Someone. And you really need the Lord. You really need the Lord. Yes, you could be a child of God and you've been faithful to the Lord and you're going through a difficult time and the devil's saying, you see, God's let you down. He hasn't let you down. And don't you feel guilty because of those thoughts? We all have those thoughts from time to time. God loves you. Look, if God loved you when you were lost in sin, he loves you even more now. You're in his hand. Perhaps there's someone in the gallery down the floor, and you can identify with all the stuff we've preached this morning, but you've never come to faith in Christ. I would love to lead you to Jesus. He loves you. Open your heart to him. Say, Lord, come in. Forgive me, cleanse me. Give me grace to follow you for the rest of my life. Father, we want to thank you for your word and for our time together. Thank you for this great church, for the witness, for what you're doing in this area. Lord, I pray for this whole community, this church and many other churches that are faithful to the cross, to the blood of Christ and to our Lord Jesus. Lord, just use the witness to bring many to faith in Christ. Now, Lord, I pray for someone or someone's this morning. Lord, going through a difficult time. Would you bless your word we've shared this morning? Make it live in their life as we experience. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.